Oh yeah, we're back with another episode of On This Grind.
I'm on this grind, gotta get mine, see I'm on this grind. I'm on this grind, working overtime and I'm on this grind. I stay on this grind.
And this is a special episode. This is an interview where we haven't done that yet. And so this is going to be the only time I do it this season. So I felt it was only right to bring on a special guest. And we have the godfather in the building, Maestro Fresh Wes. What's happening,
peace,
my man?
Peace, King King.
Yeah, you feeling good, man?
God is good, Mice is nice, me.
Well, I wanted to have you on the episode because it's called On This Grind, and you're somebody who really personifies this for me. And it's funny because this is actually the second time we're doing this interview. We tried it the first time and we had some technical issues, but that's why I appreciate you coming back here and doing it, because I think a lot of people can get value out of it. And what the podcast is all about is life lessons learned from the music business. And you've been in the game a long time. I mean, today I was actually just listening to a podcast with Nori interviewing the Blastmaster, KRS-One.
Yeah.
And to me, it's kind of similar in a way, because Nori's talking about how he looks up to KRS-One, and KRS is telling those old hip-hop stories. I'm sure you got a lot of them. But what I wanted to get into first is, on the first episode of On This Grind, I talked about three qualities: being hungry, being humble, and having the hustle as well. And I wanted to go through that, those three, but the first one, hunger, is something that really strikes me, because I don't know how you deal with it, man. I mean, I always see that you have the hunger still, being in this game this long, that you're willing to go out and do these things, whereas I see a lot of young artists or just young people who want things, but they're not really hungry. They don't have that drive. And can you speak about that, whether it's people not having the drive or where you got that drive from?
I mean, I never had a reference point because I had no elders to look up to here coming out of Toronto. That's number one. There was nobody older than me to say yay or nay. So there was no reference point. It was like instinct, and then we learned, like, the blueprint was laid down by looking at what our brothers in New York City were doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you know, and then East Coast, obviously when I say New York, I don't mean just the tri-state. I'm talking Jersey, Philly, you know, because, you know, Schoolie D and them guys were rapping Philly hard, you know what I'm saying, as well. But, yeah, in Canada, I had no reference points. And obviously Ice-T on the West Coast of Los Angeles, too. But in Canada, there was no one for me to look at. Everyone was either my age or younger than me, you know, trying to do the same thing I'm doing. And I just knew I was doing something that was special, something that was going to make an impact to my city,
yeah,
and to my country eventually, you know.
It's funny what you're saying, because it's similar to what KRS-One is saying about the importance of Philadelphia. And then, you know, he made sure to point out Ice-T, too. So I like how you both
I mean, KRS-One is a teacher, but he's a student of hip-hop, too, as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got cats older than him who he has the utmost respect for, what have you, as well. You know what I mean? But I think the greatest teachers are the ones who are the greatest students as well. So we're constantly learning and going back and realizing, okay, this is what we did back then. And when you want to speak on KRS-One, one of my favorite quotes from him is, if you don't know the history of the author, you don't know what you're reading. That's a quote from his song, Build and Destroy, the Sex and Violence album. That's a very powerful quote. If you don't know the history of the author, you don't know what you're reading. So when he's where he's at as an MC, he's looking back and saying, okay, this is where I was back then, and these are the other artists outside, not just the Bronx, outside New York City, but like, yo, I was in London, I was in Canada, shit, I was in the West Coast with Ice-T. You see what I'm saying? So all these components made hip-hop what it is today, looking back at the history. So for me per se, coming up, only history I had to look up to was like Sound Crews out of Toronto. So I just knew we were on the cusp of something. Missy Me, Dream Warriors, myself, MC Rumble, you know, there's a whole bunch of us, you know. We knew we were on the cusp of something. And I think, you know, my drive was just that, you know, I think, you know, my strength was like as a lyricist, you know what I'm saying? So when the game shifted to more of a lyrical style as opposed to party rocking, that was right up my alley for me to do what I did, you know, so.
I feel
so
that.
I just knew we're on to doing something big, so that kind of just motivated me too.
I want to pick up on one of those things you talked about with KRS as far as how he's a teacher, but how he's a student, because I look at you as somebody in the same way, in the respect that last weekend I'm driving up to Kingston and we got on the phone. We were talking briefly, and it's funny because when I talk to you sometimes, it's like you're giving me this motivation just by showing me respect in certain ways, just saying, hey, I'm trying to get my hustle on like what you're doing, whereas I'm really trying to get my hustle on like how you're doing. And right after I did that. I stopped at a service station, got a coffee, and I'm checking my Facebook, and I see Ill Vibe is like, just got a hype call with Maestro. Now I'm hype. And so I look at it the same way as far as being humble, where a lot of people think that being an MC is about being cocky because you want to be the best. KRS-One is somebody who's been cocky and will battle anybody. But it's funny how I look at both of you guys as people that are humble and how that is translated into longevity. So I wonder if you could speak on that.
Well, I mean, I got a book that I wrote called Stick to Your Vision, and I was blessed to have my man Chuck B from Public Enemy write the foreword for my book. A quick backstory, I met Public Enemy in 89, and I gave Chuck B my album. And I was excited to give it to him, and then I remember Flavor Flav looking at it, the cover of the cassette, and he's like, wow, man, congratulations, there's room here for everybody. I'll never forget that, because that was like one of the most powerful hip-hop groups at the time, the most important group, and the love and respect they gave me was something I never forgot. So years later now, 2010, I told you he wrote the foreword for the book. Now Public Enemy is playing in Collingwood, and I'm opening up. So I'm like, you know what? I just got my first batch of books. Let me sign an autographed copy and actually give Chuck copy of the book. So I'm giving it to him, and I remember while I'm giving it to him, Flavor Flav was looking at it. This was in the tour bus. And he was like, wow, congratulations. It was like the same thing over again, where they were so accommodating to artists, and humble to see artists evolve and continue the friendships. But while we were chilling, he asked me, because he knows I do a lot of TV and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Chuck asked me, how do you prepare? How do you memorize? I go, what do you mean? Like my songs? Like my scripts? He goes, both. And as I'm answering him, I'm like, who the F am I giving Chuck D advice? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, who am I to, like, he's asking me how I go about doing my shit. Like, dude, like, you're someone I look up to. You feel what I'm saying? And I'll never forget that, because to me, he's humble enough to, like, ask questions.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So to me, it's like, me, I never had a choice. I had to ask questions because there's people younger than me, because I never had the luxury of having people older than me to answer stuff. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? So, like, that's why I had no problem working with cats like Ghetto Concept later on, like Harden Now, or like later on to like Rich Kid or Classified or whoever, man, and ask questions. You know what I'm saying? So, and then when you look at a dude like Drake, I was just watching an interview he did, and he gave me a little shout out too, and interview telling jokes. You know what I'm saying? And he was just saying, like, how the song 416905, it may not have been a big thing to a lot of other fans of mine, but to him, that meant a lot, because I'm putting the city down. Like, I'm repping the city, like what he's trying to do. You feel what I'm saying?
100%.
So you never know, but at the same time, he's inspiring me for me to evolve. You get me? So it doesn't matter, man. We learn, cats grew up watching me, and I'm watching them now. You dig? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm at with that anyway, man.
You were talking about your book, and one of the favorite things about your book for me that I picked up on was a part where you talk about how you have to listen to your career and how in some ways it just means that, direction. So for you, it could mean that, you've been rapping, but now you're doing the acting, and it's not necessarily you're not going to rap, but it's saying right now, this is a thing for me. I'm going to do it. And so when I'm talking about hustle, I think that as an artist, as an entrepreneur, as a millennial, you have to have multiple hustles.
And bro, I'm going to put you on something. I just left CBC. All right. I'm a judge on this show they got called Searchlight. So it's like a one-day show that they're doing where they had talent artists, amazing artists. So I'm one of the three judges, and it was dope. But, you know, CBC is a conglomerate. So I'm here today, and I said, you know what? Let me go up on the 10th floor to check my man, Chris Jackson, see what he's doing. Just to say what up.
Got rocks.
And I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm back on the 6th floor. I go, you know what? Oh, Q is being shot here? Yo, let me go see my man, Shad.
Yeah.
So I want to say hi to Shad for a minute. I ain't seen him in a minute. You know what I'm saying?
100%. And
last week, I was doing a kid's CBC. Mm-hmm. And I was performing Let Your Backbone Slide with a 9-year-old. This girl named Egypt Matthews. And she just so happens to be Dwayne Morgan's daughter. You know?
For real.
Then I did CBC Sports. The week before that, I did Dragon's Den. I was a whole, you know what I'm saying? It's like, wow. It's like, you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just, so when you say listen to your career, a lot of CBCs is cutting a lot of checks for the kid right here. Now, you know what I'm saying? they're cutting a lot. There's like 5 checks being cut for me, and then I got a CBC festival coming up in a minute.
Yeah.
But that just shows me, on top of that, too, reinforces while you listen to your career, as you evolve, you don't burn bridges, man, because you never know who you're going to be rocking with when your name is called. You know, Jean Gomeshi ain't a Q no more. They got my man Shad K's on because his name was called. You feel me? You never know when it's your time. But if Shad was a dick and if he burned bridges, nobody would have checked for him. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Now, like, how cool is it where I'm like, yo, I want to see my man Shad. And they're like, okay, we'll take you to his office. Mm-hmm. It sounded so fresh to me.
Yeah.
I'm walking over to Shad's office. It's just so dope. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
And then they knock on Shad's door. You have a guest. Then he jumped off his seat when he seen it was me. But the point was, they had to escort me to Shad's office. How cool is that, B? You know what I'm saying? Because he listened to his career. He said to himself, look, I'm from London. Yeah. I know I'm nice.
Yeah.
He beat out Drake a couple of years ago for a Juno Award. You know what I'm saying? For what it's worth. You know what I'm saying? He did his shows, his festivals, whatever like that. And he, you know, in his mind, he wants to expand, do different things. And then that fell in his lap. But he positioned himself to make that fall in his lap. You get what I'm saying? And you know, I asked him how it is because I'm asking him questions. He's like, yeah, it's a lot of work, a lot of reading. But he's an inspiration to me.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? So it's like when you say listen to your career, and let me tell you, a lot of these MCs out there, you know, they want to act younger than they really are. But when that hairline starts receding, bro, you ain't young no more, dude. When you start getting those gray hairs in your dreads, and you're still trying to act like you're young, it's not happening, son. You know, if you're 30 plus, and when I say it's not happening, I mean it's not happening. You're not young anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You're not necessarily old, but you're not necessarily young. So you got to find ways of expanding your career, do different things. That's why, you know, Coach Gibson, I give you a lot of props for the fact that, okay, boom. Yeah, you're in the Guinness Book of World Records for freestyle rhyming. But then at the same time, too, you're author as well. You're doing presentations. You're expanding on from a social media perspective. You're diversifying the portfolio. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we got to do. And the thing is, what do we learn from being MCs? We learned the importance of repetition, the importance of preparation. But what was that third H? What was the third H right there? You got to hustle.
Yeah.
We're the best hustlers, man. We're some of the best hustlers, especially coming out of Canada, for us to do our thing this way. You got to be a hustler, man. You know? But yeah, you got to listen to what your career is telling you to do. Definitely. You know what I'm saying? So to me, it's a blessing that I'm still here, you know, still evolving. You know, I just did a keynote for CIBC last week to their employees, man.
Uh-huh.
Like, how cool is that? The foundation is hip hop. I tell them, when I say things I do, I'm excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because who would have thought, like years ago, when I was giving Chuck D my cassette, that this genre of music would still be around to some capacity? Like, who would have thought of that? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well,
it's
great to see.
So
it's great to see hip hop grow up, right? Like before, people would complain and say, like, hip hop doesn't treat their elders right. But it's like, I went to go see Royce the 5'9" yesterday, and he's 38 and has the number one record on Billboard. So you're
God
seeing this,
soul,
and
man.
Chuck D and Public Enemy, like when they tour, they're getting respect and they're doing it big and better and NWA and so on and yourself.
You know what it's like? You know what it's like? Yeah. It's like this, man. I've been to a few Juno Awards and stuff like that, and I've met like iconic artists like Leonard Cohen, Neil Young, Brian Adams, and they walk with a certain air of excellence around them, knowing that, you know what, man, it's not about me just writing one song. It's about me. It's about my catalog, and they know they evoke emotion. Who knows how long it took between Neil Young's last three albums? I don't know. When I think of Neil Young, I'm thinking of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might be thinking of like his old school stuff too as well, but the dude is chilling, looking like an all star up in the Juno in the green room. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Leonard Cohen still winning international awards for his album. Because hip hop is such, it's still in its infancy. It's like, one, it's hard for like a lot of people to respect the elders or elder statesmen the same way they do with rock. So I'm going to give the young generation a bly on that, because one thing I have learned, us coming up, we were not forced, but we thought we had to not be bullies or nothing like that, but like let people know that this is the history. You got to come through certain realms to be here to get that respect. But maybe they don't. Maybe, you know what, they're doing their own thing. That's something that I've learned. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like when we came up, the Motown era was 20 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like kids that are like 15 and 16, the Eric B. and Rakim era, that was like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
They don't have to know them like we know them. Or, you know what I'm saying? It'd be good if they do, but they're not going to know. They're not going to feel the same way about a Kane or a Rakim or like a G-Rap or KRS-One. They're in their own lane right now.
I mean, old school is Jay-Z, right?
So, oh, yeah, like who would have DMX, thought of that, dude?
And that's cool because that was 15, almost 20 years ago in some of these cases. So
yeah, when we did, you know, it's a different ballgame. But, you know, I'm proud to say that, like, I could learn. Like, when I'm in the studio with, like, a rich kid, I'm just watching how he's putting stuff together so I could do it too. You know what I'm saying? Like, my way, you know, so... That's a blessing to still be here, though, you know?
That brings me to the last question, which is something we call the wrap-up here on This Grind, to wrap things up, kind of to put it all together. One of the episodes I released is the same name as one of my new singles called No Traffic. And what I talk about on that is the importance of finding your own niche, staying in your own lane. And it's like, well, this conversation, whether it's what KRS is saying, whether it's what Nori's saying to KRS, that hip hop has always been about style, especially when we started out. You know, it was about having your own style, being distinct, being original. Recently, I saw this little meme online where it was talking about positive rapper, you know, talks about positive things, everything. Nobody wants to hear it. Negative rapper talks about women and dealing drugs, everything. Everybody wants to hear it. And I was just like, man, that's simplifying the things, because like, just, you shouldn't just aspire to be a gangster rapper because you think that's what's going to make you popular. I think the music business now more so than ever is about finding your own niche and working it, having those multiple hustles and doing your things. So I wanted to ask you, what is your niche that you've created and how have you built that? How have you built your style?
Okay, I got a slogan, don't make records, make history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's my thing. Anybody can make a record, but when you make history is when you do something or say something to people that affect them on the positive note. So I wrote a song in 1999 called Stick to Your Vision.
Right.
And I sampled that from a Guess Who record called These Eyes, which was already a hit record. Then in 2010, Stick to Your Vision became the title of my book.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So that's different generations where people have been inspired. You get what I'm saying? And from that, I'm doing different things as well. So that's kind of my lane where it's like, that's a song that I wrote. And I'm proud to say it came from I was inspired by a song from one of the greatest Canadian rock groups ever, the Guess Who. You know what I'm saying? And I know Stick to Your Vision has inspired a lot of people. Now it's put me in my own realm, my own lane. I just got a call from a boxer by the name of Fitz Vanderpool, mm-hmm. who just got inducted in the Boxing Hall of Fame. And he said basically, my song Stick to Your Vision is what he was listening to on his come up.
That's dope.
In the train, you know. Shout out to my sister, Trey Anthony. Same thing. Mm-hmm. She goes, when she was right, he told me when she was putting the scripts together for The Kink in My Hair, you know, to put stuff together, Stick to Your Vision resonated with her. You get what I'm saying?
And you were with George Shavallo, too, man.
You never know who you inspire, man. So that's my whole thing. It's like I position myself, like what I try to do is branded in a way where, you know, songs or certain things that I do become a way of life. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like my own lane right there where, you know, it's like I might not have a top 40 record, but I must have said something that people still check for me 30 years later. And that's transcending where, like I said, where I'm at CBC last week on Kids CBC, and a 9-year-old is reciting the lyrics to Let Your Backbone Slide with me. You get what I'm saying? So be timeless. You know, I don't know, like you know, not everybody's in their own lane, though. There's a lot of, for me personally, I think, you know, the way people move right now, they've been encouraged to assimilate. Mm-hmm. But the cats I check for are the ones who innovate, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and those songs, those innovative songs, those innovative artists are the ones who are going to be around for a long, long time. So,
you know,
and
what?
And transitioning, you know, doesn't mean you make like 20 million albums. You know what I mean? You could be transitioning into an author, an actor. You know, I just finished swearing in 60 new Canadian immigrants from 23 different countries of origin, you know, doing the keynote for that. Like, who would have thought? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, backbones are still sliding in my own way. You know what I mean?
See, the cool part about that is that was the wrap up, but I'm going to give my wrap up with that too, because I like how you said how Stick to Your Vision has been your niche, because it's also kind of combined with the next episode I'm going to talk about is One Hit Wonders. Now, for me, like your time in
the... Can I say something before?
Go for it.
Sorry to interject. I just want to say, when I say Stick to Your Vision, I don't mean you stick to one specific thing. I meant whatever you do, you strive for greatness.
Yep.
Whatever you're striving for, you know, whatever you're doing, don't be average at it. Strive to be the best you possibly can. You know what I'm saying? That's what I mean with that. Like 8 years ago when Shad was in London, did you think you'd be working at Q?
Mm-hmm.
But man, when they knocked on his office door, it looked like he was deep in work. You know what I mean? And he was happy to see me for a hot minute, but then he's like, okay, I still love you, but I got to walk you back to the elevator. I got to get back to work, because he's striving to be the greatest he could be at interviewing people.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? So I just wanted to add that on. I
don't
want people to think that they got to stick to rapping for the rest of their life.
No, that's a good point. And that's what I try to get across on this podcast, too, is that you can take those skills from rap and apply those in other areas of your life. But what I wanted to say was your mid-90s, I think, is really underrated in a lot of ways. Like, I love Search Without the Rest, and I love Fine Tune Mike. I like what you did with Digging in the Crates. But Stick to Your Vision, to me, really cemented your legacy. Because if you came up with Backbone, like, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool. And I'm not saying you would be a one-hit wonder by any means, because like I said, the 90s were key too. But I think Stick to Your Vision...
That was in the 80s too. Backbone was in the 80s.
Well, yeah. But I'm just... Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're talking decades. But I'm saying it's cool that you had that Stick to Your Vision and not only just reinvigorated your career, but like really built the framework for what you've done the last 15 plus years and beyond that. And so I think that's really cool as far as finding your own niche. It doesn't have to come when you're 15. It doesn't have to come when you're 25 even. But when you age appropriately, you know, when you wrote that song, you weren't just trying to say, I remember where I was, like, things like Nori were popping at the time. Jay-Z was popping at the time. But you weren't trying to duplicate what they were doing. You were doing what you do, which is what you got to do. So... I want to thank you again for coming on here. I know you got a lot to do. We always on a hustle. We always on this grind. And appreciate it, my man.
Always good to talk to you, man.
100%. Oh, right. Yeah.
One.